Talk to me.
Welcome back to Integrity Talk Radio with Dr. David Gruder and Lee Maribol.
Every single day, politicians, media pundits, and even our friends are pushing us to take a stand on one issue or another. Here's problem number one. Your opinions are only as smart as the facts you use to formulate them. Here's problem number two. Special interest groups and political ideologues on the left and the right are doing their best to manipulate as many people as possible into mistaking spin for fact. They do this because they know full well that if they can manipulate you into believing that their spin is fact, you are more likely to take the position they want you to take and to believe that it's your own well-considered opinion. Today's guest will show you how to immunize yourself against this kind of manipulation and take charge of your own opinions in your personal life and as a citizen. Richard C. Wells is the Vice President of Research and Development at Business Processes Incorporated in La Jolla, California, which trains leaders and work teams in something called critical thinking. Rick, thanks so much for joining us.
You're welcome, David. Glad to be here.
Thanks. And what exactly is the definition of critical thinking?
Well, we define critical thinking as the systematic application of judgment. So it's very broad in that sense. And we supply a system to help people get the most out of their judgment.
So you're really talking about the art of discernment then. Really, judgment not as in being critical or judgmental, but judgment in a different sense of the word.
Right. Judgment in the sense that you make a judgment call. So it's something that it's difficult to teach a computer to do. Mm-hmm. And so with the information explosion, it's more and more important that people be able to handle a lot of information.
Richard, this is Lee. How are you?
I'm fine. Hi, Lee.
I'm at another location, but I'm his co-host. It's very complicated, Richard. I'm involved in some business deals right now where I'm having to do a lot of negotiation. And I'm trying to learn how to hone my critical thinking somewhat. What have you seen in businesses where leaders and work teams have critical thinking deficits? What have you seen happen?
Well, usually what happens is people become advocates for whatever happens to cross their mind. And if it's, you know, in a political sense outside of the business, it'd be whatever radio program they're listening to.
You mean like this one?
Well, this would be a good example, yes. Inside business, it just whatever occurs at the meeting, maybe it's something that they, you know, at their past job, they did it this way. And so they become advocates for doing something. And it's not clear where this came from or why it's a good idea, but you end up having people talking at a meeting over the top of each other and not really making a lot of progress.
So people adopt positions before they've really investigated and evaluated the virtues of those those positions, or even whether the positions they're taking reflect the underlying intentions that they actually have.
Exactly. And as a matter of fact, the higher up you get in the hierarchy of a business, the more likely the person will have an opinion right out of the chute. They're kind of paid to have opinions in that sense. So it's natural to start with an opinion. Mm-hmm. So critical thinking gives you an opportunity to step back from that and take a look at what's really going on and build towards a consensus based on reality.
And What kind of prices do we pay as individuals and in our relationships and as a society when our critical thinking skills aren't up to snuff?
Well, we make very serious mistakes, minor mistakes to very serious mistakes. I'll give you an example in your own health, for example. You go to a doctor, you'd hope that the doctor is evidencing good critical thinking when they're recommending some form of treatment. But often what they're doing is they're treating the symptoms. They're not bothering to identify what the cause is. And if you don't know what the cause is, then it's hard to say whether the treating the symptoms is a good idea or a bad idea. An example of something I've read recently, we talk about having high blood pressure, and that is associated with triple the risk for heart attacks, let's say. Mm-hmm. But taking medicines that force the blood pressure down does not improve that risk.
No, it just covers up the symptoms.
Covers up the symptoms. It's like somebody showing up at your door saying, I've got bad news about your sister, and you just shut the door.
So that would be an example of shoddy critical thinking in medicine.
Yes, correct. And impacting everybody's life.
Or I shouldn't even say shoddy critical thinking, because it's kind of a contradiction in terms to say shoddy and critical thinking in the same breath.
Very good.
So we can be taught to be better critical thinkers.
Oh, yes. It's not that hard to do. And then once you get the critical thinking aspect down, then we can work on the other areas of getting higher quality information that we put into that critical thinking process. So that's another area. And actually have dialogue with people and not just try to get our point of view won over, but actually try to understand somebody else's point of view. So the things that they've been skipping over trying to sell you and the things you've been skipping over trying to sell them, then put it together and you have a better picture.
Now, you're describing something very different from our current political process, aren't you?
Yes, I am. As a matter of fact, very different from what we're immersed in the media, I would say.
Yes, absolutely. Well, Rick, what are the basic elements of critical thinking?
Well, we break it up into four different processes. One process is a place to start. We call it concern analysis. And out of concern analysis, you identify some specific factual issues, and then you decide what thinking strategy you can use to go from there. For example, the key question in concern analysis is, what specifically have you observed that triggered this concern? So if someone said, well, I'm concerned about the healthcare crisis, you'd say, okay, well, what specifically did you observe that triggered your concern? And then you get back to the reality as you see it, and it might just be that you've heard people talk on the radio or on television, or it could be some direct experience you've had with the cost of insurance or healthcare or whatever. But that's a great question to start with. Matter of fact, if you don't remember anything else of what I happened to say in our time together on radio, remember that. When someone comes to you and they've got a concern or they're trying to sell you on a solution or a decision or push you one way or the other, just treat it as a concern and ask, what specifically did you observe that triggered your concern with this?
Well, let's go a little further with that one then, Rick, because you're saying this is really a very important dimension of critical thinking. If I say I observed so-and-so pundit saying that such-and-such is a fact about health care, that's not really an observation, is it?
The way you said it is an observation.
Well, yes.
If you didn't say it that accurately, right. it would be a lie.
Right. Right. And so when you talk about concerns, you're talking about something that's a little closer to home than my spouting off to you the quote-unquote facts as I heard them on this show or in that newspaper article.
Right, but if you think about it, that's really what has people upset. But what they see on National Geographic, what they see on the NBC News, what they see here on talk radio, their direct experience and their research, it often doesn't go any further than that.
Right. So we can come back to that in our next segment when we start working with some examples, which is what we're leading up to, where
okay.
we'll do some simulations of critical thinking analyses. But say more about the thinking strategy, the second component.
So we have what we call a critical thinking framework, and the first part of the framework I mentioned was concern analysis. And then after that, we have problem solving, which is trying to figure out what the cause of the problem is.
Okay. So you're trying to get to a root cause. What's the root cause?
Right. And we would define root cause as a full understanding of how the problem came into being. And I say it that way so that you don't think that root cause is just the last link in a chain. It's the understanding of how everything came together to produce the negative effect.
Okay. So how is identifying how the problem came into being different from finger pointing and saying, well, you know, it came into being because it's your fault. No, it's your fault.
Well, if it was someone's fault, there was a certain action taken, and the action could be the cause.
So you're looking at the actions, not the accusations.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Yeah. In the spirit of figuring out what we can do after this. If we understand how the problem came into being, it gives us more realistic options of what we can do to fix it.
Well, a lot of times I am David's guinea pig because I always, you know, not always, but often I do the very thing. Bad example that he gives. Let me tell you right now, Richard, okay? For instance, when I'm looking at what's happening in the media right now, and I know we're going to talk about this in the next segment, David, but I just wanted to kind of bring it up.
Yeah.
I think to myself, well, you idiots believing these things, these are not, somebody is giving you bad information and you're just ignorant. I can't help but think that when I watch the other side. And so in order for, so you're saying that I need to stop and say, where did you get the information or what makes you think this way?
I think if you're actually...
I know what makes them think this way.
My recommendation would be that we watch and demand information given in a certain way. It might be more like a dialogue and less like a confrontation.
Yes.
And a dialogue would allow then an exploration of what do you think, why do you think that way from both sides. And then you as a consumer of information, being a critical thinker, you'd be in a better position to make sense out of it and make use of it, and you wouldn't be so frustrated, if I may project.
Good point. Okay.
And what you're really talking about here is the ability to distinguish between data and judgment, the facts and my opinion or my interpretation of those facts.
Right.
You know, Epictetus said it very, very well in 1 AD, the Greek philosopher. People are disturbed not by things, but by the views they take of them. So that's really what you're talking about as a starting place, is we've got to start to discover what the facts are. So coming up, how to upgrade your critical thinking skills. Call us now with your concern for Rick to use to illustrate critical thinking.